The Scalpel with Dr. Keith Rose.
Cutting down to the truth through history and experience. The Scalpel is proudly sponsored by Z-Bone's Bone Conducting Headphones. Learn more at zbones.io. Subscribe to The Scalpel wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow us on Instagram at The Scalpel Podcast, on Twitter at The Scalpel Edge. Email kfr@scalpeledge.com or the website scalpeledge.com.
The next episode of The Scalpel starts now.
Welcome to The Scalpel. This is Dr. Keith Rose. We are being bombarded right now in the mainstream media and by government officials telling us that we need to get the jab, the vax. We need to be vaccinated. In fact, the government is coming at us fast and furious. Not the Fast and Furious where they were trying to run guns down into Mexico, but the Fast and Furious where they're trying to get Americans to sign up for experimental gene therapy under the auspice of a vaccination. A lot of us are standing around looking at this going, this can't be happening, because we can see the fallacy and the attack on pure medical and ethical principles that are taking place in order to push this quote-unquote virus vaccine, yet the mainstream media seems to believe that they have substituted history, experience, and medical knowledge for a quick fix, fast, three-worded tagline, get the jab. In fact, the Biden administration is going to send people door-to-door. They're going to come knock on the door of your house because they think you need to get the vaccination. And one of the heads in the Biden administration on the medical side has already said that they have the right to know who is vaccinated and who isn't. Yet the irony of all this is that what they're calling a vaccination isn't. Not my words, the actual people that make the vaccine. It doesn't meet the classic definition of a vaccination, and we've talked about that before. But the reason I'm on this behind this microphone today, and this is a busy day for me. I'm flying out today to go to California to speak twice, and then my wife and I are going to head up to the mountains, and I may be able to get out a few more podcasts because I won't have to be doing so many other things. But the reason I'm coming to the microphone today and hoping that this touches someone and that you'll pass it on is we have to speak the truth. We have to shine light on darkness. And I will tell you, there's a lot of darkness in this country today. Yes, it's metaphoric, but it's a sad metaphor. It's an unfortunate metaphor. It's a evil metaphor, because I believe that this administration, the Biden administration, the radical progressive elites have decided that good is actually bad. And bad or evil is actually good, and that the truth is what we'll tell you it'll be. And that 1984 was not just a great novel, it's where we are today in 2021. And that doesn't have to be the case. It doesn't have to be the case because we have truth in front of us. All we have to do is shine a light on it. All we have to do is create some cognitive dissonance in anyone who is intellectually honest, who will look at all the facts and go, wait a second, this isn't true. I've been doing a lot of research on the coronavirus. I've been digging back in the journals, and I found something that's really not talked about a lot. It was published back in 2005 in the Virology Journal. It's a pretty famous journal. It's a pretty notable journal. And it's the official publication of Dr. Fauci's National Institutes of Health. And the article was published August 22nd, 2005. And I'm going to quote from the article. So get ready for it. Chloroquine is a potent inhibitor of SARS coronavirus infection and spread. That's what the researchers wrote. They report We report that chloroquine has strong antiviral effects on SARS-CoV infection of primate cells. These inhibitory effects are observed when the cells are treated with the drug either before or after exposure to the virus, suggesting both prophylactic and therapeutic advantage. So what does that mean? Well, it means that Dr. Fauci has known for at least 16 years almost that chloroquine and even its milder derivative, hydroxychloroquine, will not only treat cases of coronavirus, that would be the therapeutic function, but it also can act as a cure and a vaccine. It actually prevents someone from getting it. I mean, this is like the definition of a vaccine, yet it's just a medication that's been out for a long time. It's a well-known medication, a well-known medication that we know is safe and works. So we have to look back at our recent history and wonder, how exactly did this COVID-19 pandemic get started? Because I'm unclear. Although it appears increasingly clear, it came out of a lab in China. Even when Peter Daszak tried to line up 22 scientists to refute it, and Dr. Fauci was kind enough to document this in his emails, we understand regardless of how the pandemic began, however, it seems to apparent that early on, Big Pharma recognized a golden opportunity. You just have to look at Dr. Fauci's emails. You just have to look back at what's actually happened. COVID was going to spread worldwide, whether we wanted it to or not. And a vaccine brought quick enough to market would be worth trillions. And I think people had trillions in their eyes. They had trillions in their eyes so much that we now have a report that the NIAID, that's the National Institute for Allergies and Infectious Disease, you know, Dr. Fauci's group, and Moderna had COVID vaccine candidates back in December 2019. That's before we were even told coronavirus was a problem, because people had trillions in their eyes. Someone that would most likely be affected by people that had trillions in their eyes is our current president in name only, Joe Biden. Because in October, 2 months before officially the NIAID and Moderna were working on a COVID vaccine, he stated, "We are not prepared for a pandemic. Trump has rolled back progress President Obama and I made to strengthen global health security. We need leadership that builds public trust, focuses on real threats, and mobilizes the world to stop outbreaks before they reach our shores." Joe Biden wrote that tweet responding to a Washington Post tweet. None of these, quote, 195 countries, the U.S. included, is fully prepared for a pandemic. So let me explain this in simple language. Back in October of 2019, before we, quote, unquote, heard about the coronavirus, there was already an exercise being run, a pandemic exercise at Johns Hopkins that's closely associated with Bill Gates Foundation. And ironically enough, in that same month, the Washington Post makes a tweet out there, none of these countries, and writes an article on it, are fully prepared for a pandemic. Why are we even talking about this? And then Joe Biden, who probably had a few more neurons working back then, and I just call him old sugar socks because he always sticks his foot in his mouth, he jumps out there and says, "We are not prepared for a pandemic." Well, that's amazing, Joe, because no one was even talking about it back then. And we know you're such a forward thinker. You can't remember what you had for lunch like 5 seconds ago. But Joe Biden goes on in the tweet and says, "Trump has rolled back progress President Obama and I made to strengthen global health security." Now, please help me here. Is it the job of the United States to strengthen global health security? And if it is, did President Obama and Biden even do that? What does global health security even mean? He says we need leadership that builds public trust, focuses on real threats, and mobilizes the world to stop outbreaks before they reach our shores. Do we need to mobilize the world, or should we just, I don't know, Joe, be responsible for our country and make America great again? You see, America mobilizes to protect the world a lot of times. And America, where freedom was born, is what allows scientists uninhibited by political pressure and doctors that weren't stymied by socialist communist whims to develop some of the greatest discoveries and advancement we have in medicine and science today. That's what keeps everyone safe, Joe. But again, why are you responding to the Washington Post before anything even happens? How can you foretell us this, Joe? Because you're so smart, right? I can mock Joe Biden because Joe won't know it. I can mock it to his face and he'll just kind of give me that same stare till Ron Klain pulls the right string that lets him talk and says something. So in October, we have the planning session for a pandemic of a coronavirus that we don't even know about, but we just happen to have that at Johns Hopkins. At the same time, someone mentions from a public relations firm that does government work that they're going to have social media not act as platforms anymore, but become broadcasters to combat misinformation that, quote, hasn't even been put out there yet. We're not even really sure what that misinformation is. And then you have Joe Biden on Sugar Toes himself licking those socks as he sticks his foot in his mouth and says we're not prepared for a pandemic, although no one's even talking why we should be. But last time I checked, the last, quote, pandemic or viral problem we had was under his watch. So if we're not prepared, it would have been him and old Barry himself the reason we're not prepared. But again, shame and incompetence always blames. So Joe Biden just points and says, Trump has rolled back progress President Obama and I made to strengthen global health security. He can say anything he wants. He just had nothing to back it up. And this tweet, which we'll post in our show notes, says more about what's going on today than anything else because they're only saying it because someone had trillions in their eyes. That's what I believe. So everybody started paying attention and knew something was going on. And then in January, we talk about a coronavirus. And I guess you could say the rest is history. But my question to you is this, because now we've had our, quote, pandemic. Now we look back and see what actually just happened, even though the media is saying, don't believe your lying eyes, because the media is saying you need a vaccination. We have a new Delta variant. We have a new Lambda variant. Hell, you're going to hear variants until you just finally say no. Or you could just pay attention to what's happened. And I think a great study we can look at is what happened in Sweden. Because we're being told now, because of social distancing masks, that we didn't have a bad flu season because we did it right. So maybe it didn't help with the coronavirus, but it's still good. And oh, by the way, get your vaccination. But if you look at Sweden, you can realize that the flu influenza this year also disappeared in Sweden and they didn't social distance or wear masks. So my question is, why are so many experts lying? I started out at the beginning of this show talking about hydroxychloroquine that works both as a therapeutic and vaccine and a cure. I've used it on over 1,000 patients. It works. And it was written in 2005 in the journal that Dr. Fauci's a part of, yet he didn't talk about it. No, he just wants to talk about we need vaccines that were worked on in December before anyone in the U.S. had an idea that there was a potential pandemic. So my question is, why are so many experts lying? There was a report done, and it was covered under the U.S. Code of Federal Regulations, 45 CFR 46, subpart A. The Belmont report describes informed consent as follows. See, if you're going to get a vaccine, you have to have informed consent. Now, I just began this with President Biden wants to go and knock on your door and get you the vaccine. We're told by a leading medical authority in his administration they have a right to know everything. Yet actually in our own federal regulations, it says respect for persons requires that subjects, to the degree they are capable, be given the opportunity to choose what shall or shall not happen to them. This opportunity is provided when adequate standards for informed consent are satisfied. I'm a surgeon. if I operate on someone, I have to give adequate standards of informed consent before I operate on them. This statute goes on to say, while the importance of informed consent is unquestioned, controversy prevails over the nature and possibility, or this is a comment on the statute, of the nature and possibility of an informed consent. Nonetheless, there is widespread agreement that the consent process can be analyzed as containing three elements: information, comprehension, and voluntariness. Americans, indeed, the people of the whole earth, are being prevented from freely accessing and sharing information about these gene therapies, about these, quote, vaccines. You can't get the information. It's blocked on Twitter. It's blocked on Facebook. So that doesn't even meet the first of these three elements, information. Worse, we are misled by fact checkers and these big tech platforms that ban or put out misinformation labels on anyone or anything, discussing them or in a critical or questioning way. You know, like Facebook put out misinformation on hydroxychloroquine when it's already been published in an article in 2005 in a peer-reviewed journal. The same censorship also prevents people from understanding the risk. And when you prevent people from understanding the risk, then I guess an unscrupulous government body could go out and say, we're going to knock on the door and tell you you need to take it. That is the vaccine. And lastly, government and any number of vaccine stakeholders are encouraging companies and schools to make these experimental injections mandatory, which violates the rule of voluntariness. Government and private businesses are also creating massive incentives to participate in this experiment, including $1 million lotteries and full college scholarship. Also, don't forget free beer. None of this is ethical or even legal. And more physicians and more scientists should be standing up. Because as these vaccines are not yet market authorized, and that is licensed, because they're under an emergency use authorization, coercion of human subjects to participate in any medical experiment is specifically forbidden under the statute. Therefore, public health policies which meet generally accepted criteria for coercion in participation in clinical research are forbidden. Let me repeat this simply. You can't coerce someone to participate in clinical research or with an emergency use authorization. You know, for example, if I were to propose a clinical trial involving children and entice participation by giving out ice cream to the willing participants, any institutional human subject safety board called an IRB, and I had to go and put proposals before an IRB when I did research in the United States, would reject that protocol. They would reject it outright. And if I were to propose a clinical research protocol wherein the population of a geographic region would lose personal liberties unless 70% of the population participated in my study, once again, that protocol would be rejected by the United States, any United States IRB, Institutional Review Board, based on coercion of subject participation, because you weren't allowed to coerce anyone. So the logic's clear. We have an unlicensed medical product deployed under emergency use authorization. It remains an experiment under clinical research development. The EUA authorized by national authorities basically grants a short-term right to administer the research product to human subjects without written informed consent. But the Geneva Convention, the Helsinki Declaration, and the entire structure which supports ethical human subjects research requires that research subjects be fully informed of risk and must consent to participation without coercion. So why are we becoming unethical in the name of ethics? I think we'll understand that more when we realize the two scientific journals caught in the crime of the century, The Lancet and Nature, because both of those journals have been promoting the natural origin theory for SARS-CoV-2, and they've protected the theory by refusing to publish counterarguments or publishing scientific statements by individuals with serious conflicts of interest. And we've talked about Peter Daszak, who should be in prison. And if he wants to sue me, that's cool, because then I get I'll get discovery, and I know you, Peter. I mean, more than a year ago in February, a group of 27 scientists wrote a letter published in The Lancet condemning conspiracy theories suggesting that COVID-19 doesn't have a natural origin. The only problem is we got to see, you know, Fauci's emails and realize that that was a setup. And in 2021, The Lancet published an addendum admitting that some readers have questioned the validity of this disclosure. Yeah, a ton of them did. And they continue to. Because people are seeing that people with trillions in their eyes don't really care what actual science is. And the people suffering are the everyday folks that just want to have freedom. So I have more questions than answers for you today. I would ask you why Anthony Fauci and Peter Daszak went to such extremes to circle a group of biologists, virologists, to say that this wasn't created in a lab, and to state that spike protein seen could only come from natural origin in bats. Yeah, the reason I say that is because actually I can read, and I found a Nature article by Zhenxin Li, that's the bat lady, when she declared the new coronavirus as a probable bat origin. Yet in November 2017, I also have the paper where she documented the ease of changing the spike proteins on SARS-CoV virus genome at the Wuhan Institute of Virology. And so now we have a virus where the spike proteins continue to change and continue to have variants. And we have articles in 2017, hang with me here, from Bat Lady herself, who worked with Peter Daszak and Anthony Fauci, who states it's so easy to change the spike protein in the lab. And I'm going to post that article in our show notes. So again, I come back to, why aren't we using treatments that work? Why are we taking a vaccine that's not a vaccine? And why are we being forced and coerced into doing it? The only thing I can see is that people have trillions in their eyes, or maybe billions, or maybe millions, because I think it flows downhill to the sewer of big pharma, unscrupulous governments, governments that want to see America decline, and politicians who just want money and power and can be manipulated by greed and blinded by ambition. And trillions in your eyes will keep a country from being free. So we just celebrated our Day of Independence from Britain, and it may be helpful to be reminded of the sufferance of the Founding Fathers and what was going through their minds as they decided to take on the most powerful political and military force on the planet. I think this is important. We need to understand it, because then you'll understand how we can overcome people with trillions in their eyes. Because our Founding Fathers said, a prince whose character is thus marked by every act which may define a tyrant is unfit to be the ruler of a free people. What happens when that prince collectively becomes the Congress and the executive branch, working in concert with one another toward a world order foreign and detrimental to the people? They are charged with representing, and to the Constitution that they vowed to uphold. What are citizens to do? The Declaration of Independence is a masterful document that served as the true preamble to our Constitution. It begins by saying, when in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with one another and to assume among powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitle them. A decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. They don't have equity, but they're endowed by their Creator. They can pursue happiness, but they're not guaranteed it. The Declaration goes on to say, to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people, and I would say the responsibility, to alter or to abolish it and to institute a new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. And accordingly, all experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But listen to this and apply it to today. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, taking their freedom, locking them down, forcing experimental therapies on them. This is what I added. It is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and provide new guards for their future security. Such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies, and such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their former systems of government. And the signatures of these 56 men were written on the declaration after this sentence. And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. How did we become the greatest, freest nation in the world? 56 men pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. Basically, they forsaked all for freedom. In other words, they risked everything. They counted the cost. They understood the will of God. They acted. This Independence Day that just passed, just remember, take time to think about this yourself and the sufferance of those who made such a pledge on their lives, fortune, and sacred honor. And contemplate our national condition today. I implore you to seek God, for as Peter and the disciples said in Acts 5:29, we ought to obey God rather than men. And recall the words of James 1:25, but whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of this work, this man shall be blessed indeed. The body without spirit is dead. Faith without works is also dead. So I would challenge you to consider your destiny and that of our nation. It can be considered to be done peacefully. But action has to take place. Action at every level. Action in this city, the county, the state. We have to hold our leaders accountable peacefully, but firmly. We can no longer treat our freedom as a spectator sport, but as an active pursuit in the continuation of the same way our founders established the foundation for the greatest nation which we live in today. We're under full attack. There's a full force of cancel culture out there. Social media giants, corporate media, the lapdogs in government, the regulatory agencies are all working in concert to steal your freedoms and to push forward a socialism, a communism. And I believe there's a lot of nefarious actors behind it at the state and national level in other countries. But it doesn't have to be that way. We have a birthright that was passed down to us. So as you go into the weekend, think what you can do to make this nation better. And after you think about it, act on it peacefully, but with great dedication, and recognize we're in a generational battle for the soul of our nation. And the soul of our nation is the heart of freedom. And our freedom comes from God. Go out and have a great weekend. I hope this made some sort of sense to you. We'll have these links in the show notes because you can use it when you talk to other people, and hold your leaders accountable. Show your congressmen, show your senators, stand for truth, stand with faith. We don't have comrades, we have brothers. And skin color doesn't matter, just content of character. That's what free men have, and that's what this nation is founded on. So go have a great weekend, and most importantly, keep freedom rolling.
Head high, protest line, freedom scribbled on your sign. Headline, New York Times, standing on the edge of a revolution. Hey, hey,
secret safe with the NSA. And God we trust, or the CIA. Standing on the edge of a revolution.
With Dr. Keith Rose.
The Scalpel is proudly sponsored by Z-Bones Bone Conducting Headphones. Learn more at zbones.io. Give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts and subscribe to The Scalpel wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow us on Instagram at The Scalpel Podcast, on Twitter at The Scalpel Edge, email kfr@scalpeledge.com, or the website scalpeledge.com.